all the honor and all the praise once again. And I pray, God, your week has been very good for you, and that God has done things for you, answered prayers for you. He answers a prayer for you every time we wake up in the morning, but sometimes it's that particular prayer I'm talking about. I pray, God, that he answered a good prayer for you this week, and or just gave you comfort in something this week. A lot of people are suffering, they're hurting, and God is the God of comfort. And I know he's comforting his people in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Yesterday, as I was sitting just meditating, God told me to revisit Hebrews 4 again. And so today we're going to be talking about Soul from Spirit, Part 2, out of the book of Hebrews. And he gave me a word for the people. I was sitting there, he just started pouring in my spirit, and I just started writing the word that he gave me for the people in Jesus' name. Because, see, God loves his people with a great love, and he wants to do great things for his people in the name of Jesus. So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, Father, I'm bowing before you with all humility, with all grace, knowing that I can do nothing without you. And right now, Father, I'm decreasing that I might increase. And God, let me not speak not one word, God, that's not from your lips. I do not want to speak out of my flesh. I will only speak out of your spirit. And so, Father, I thank you right now. And I ask you, God, when the day is closed, when you finish using my lips this day, God, let the people's hearts burn with the love for you like never before. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus' name.
Amen. So I was sitting, just meditating, and I was thinking about another way to go. And he put me right back. He said, revisit Hebrews 4 and 12, because many did not get it. What he meant by that, I don't know. You see, but then he started pointing at me, and I'm going to give you the word that he gave me yesterday. God said, hear me good. This is not Mamie Jones. God said, he is not pleased with the excuses that cause division in the spirit. Isn't that something? That's what he said. He said, I am not pleased with the excuses that cause the division in the spirit. And that's talking about the division in the spirit realm where he wants to move. Excuses cause division. We worship, this is what God is so talking now. He said, we worship and we praise. And then we return to our own soul hubs. And what he meant by that, as he was talking to me, he gave me understanding. He said, we come to church and we worship at home, we praise at home. But then we just go back doing what we used to do. No change. He said, this is why I must now separate, saith the Lord, the soul from the spirit, the flesh from the spirit, the dust from the spirit. So how many know that the soul, the man was made out of dust, and God put the soul, breathed soul into him, right? God said, I desire to use you. I desire to establish you. I desire to make you known among my people. But things in your heart and soul are interfering with my progress, saith God. For the things I have set for you in the spirit are being interfered with in your soul. Many yet do not believe me. Thank you, God. You say you believe me. But it is only in the things that please your flesh. Man, on those things will you do. You sit, saith God, and you think, I don't see. You sit and think you're okay. You sit and think my relationship is firm with God. But you will not deal with the things that are contending in your soul. You sit and say God knows everything. And then will not let me penetrate what I know, saith God. You sit and try to bargain with me based on where you are in your life. When it is I who gave you life, saith God. You sit and let excuses invade your soul and then proceed to worship me as if I don't see or I don't care. I am God and I see in depth you will never understand. You say, Lord, They don't understand what I'm going through with. You say, Lord, these things are unfair. You say, Lord, be my avenger. When all the time I'm looking into your soul and your heart after real issues, I'm looking into your soul after real causes. I see how you adjust yourself. I see how you protect yourself. But many times, you know, it's for self-protection. And you close the doors to what I need out of you. Because you will not submit outside of what you can see. Hey, God, I thank you. You will not submit outside of what you can feel. So now I come to separate your soul from the spirit. I come to separate the truth from the lies. I come to separate the just causes from the excuses. I am God and I see in depth you will never know. Amen. God is saying, I just want to adjust you so I can use you. I must now separate so you can see clearly what is hindering you. I come to adjust, not to a hinder. I come to remove things so I can establish. I come to root out and I'm outside so I can plant and grow. God, I thank you. I am God, and I see in depth you will never understand. God said, I love you, and I'm coming very soon. And so many are yet going to be tied to their soul. They will not be able to shift with me in the spirit. They will not be prepared when I have appointed my angel to blow the trumpet. They will be in a state of unbelief, thinking they have time, thinking they are all right, thinking I am gracious and merciful, but I will not leave them behind when I am not pulling at their hearts. Hey, God, I thank you to love me when I'm not pulling at their hearts, now to keep all in their lamp, when I'm not pulling out their hearts to trust me. But you say you trust me, but you choose to live outside of your soul and in your soul. But I am coming now to separate, because I love you. I will give you every chance to love me with your whole heart, soul, mind, and spirit. I do not want no man to be lost. This is why my son came in the flesh, so he can contend with the evil one that contends against you. And he now feels what you feel as a great high priest. So now you say no more, I don't understand. I am God, and I see in depths where you will never understand, saith God. Amen. Now you can believe it if you don't want to. But God is frustrated with the body of Christ. He's very frustrated. Our excuses and our reasonings. And when he was sitting in front of me, he said, they sit and they try to say, well, God, they don't understand what I'm going through. And God said, it's not about what they don't understand. It's about what I'm going to do for you. Do you understand what you're going through with? Do you understand that I'm on your side? And we got it so messed up. We want to play this pity party with God. But God was saying, I'm not playing this pity party with you. You're going to love me and trust me, or you're not. Amen. You're going to let me use me or get out my way. Amen. Because I'm ready to come back for my people. And I need people going to rise up and be firm and get out of their soulless realm and let me use them to be a blessing to the people. The enemy has made a mastery, I can say. A career, I can say. Of keeping people bound up in what they're going through. And I know, listen, I know this stuff hurt. I know this stuff is real. I'm not saying it don't hurt. I'm not saying it's not real. But I'm saying it's from the devil that keep you bound up so God cannot use you and take you into your destiny. Amen. He wants you to be free in your soulless realm so he can use you. It's in the soul. It's not in the spirit. You can praise God all day long. It's not in the spirit. You pretend that you are holy. Pretend that you are sanctified. Then you go home and say, I can't do that now. You see, I'm busy now. But I want God to use me. I want you to bless me. But God said, I'm frustrated. And I want my body to come together. You can't worship and praise over my frustration anymore, says God. You can't just worship and praise like, I don't see anything, saith God. You just can't worship and praise like, I'm not going to be doing anything. You understand? I'm not shy. God said, I want to raise up my church. I want to raise up my body. But it's so much frustration in the earth. And it's frustration in the earth. is causing me to be frustrated on my throne, says God. So make up in your mind today who you're going to serve.
Amen.
And what you're going to do. And what choices you're going to make. Because just as sure as those foolish virgins are going to try to look for oil at the wrong time, God's going to start moving in this earth. And he's trying to prepare people right now. He got people handpicked to prepare right now. But things that are stopping you. But God's going to move on without you. I'm here to tell you. God said, I'm going to move on without you. If you don't get out of your soulless realm. And call me to go in there and penetrate it. Call me to go in there and show you what's wrong. And when I show you what's wrong, accept it and say, God, forgive me. Help me. Show me what to do. Don't just say, come with excuses. God said, I take no excuses. I'm God, and I see in depths you will never see, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Now very quickly, I'm going to go into the word just very quickly. Listen to me, God's word, it will make the soul that has longed to be proud to be humble. It will make the perverse spirit to be meek and obedient. When God said, I come to. For the word of God is quick and powerful and is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. He said, I'm going to start dividing the proud from the humble in your spirit. I'm going to start providing, separating the perverse spirit to what's meek and what's obedient. Y'all going to start seeing. People are going to start, you're going to start seeing what's in you. This is what God is saying. See, people running around here, they think they okay. And you got to say, you're not okay. You're not okay. I'm going to divide and show you what is in you. And it's not going to be cute, I'm telling you. He's going to show you the ugly, ugly apart you. He's going to, the ugly, ugly is where the enemy tried to hold you down and keep you in bond. He's going to show you the ugly, ugly about you. People don't like to see the ugly, ugly about them. Especially if you've been saved over 2 years. Some people have been saved 100 years. Still ugly, ugly. They don't want to be free. They keep coming back with the same excuses. But you don't know what they did to me. That thing wrecked me to be taken off and broke. Mm-hmm. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said about me. You don't know how they treat me. Everybody can play that record. Here, I'm telling you right now, so get off of that. Throw that record away because everybody done been mistreated.
Yes.
Everybody done been done wrong. Everybody done, somebody somewhere done been rejected or you done been cast away. I mean, it happens to everyone. You need to throw that record away and say, God, it happened, but what you got to say about it? God, it happened, but now, how can you use me in this? Can I take that, what happened to me, and use it to help somebody else? That's how you come out of that soul and stuff. And now, and see, when the enemy knows that he got you in the realm like that, he's going to keep on people, keep sending people to you, keep sending circumstances to you to keep that realm open. Mm-hmm. Guess what? You got to close that door. You got to tell the devil, you don't own me.
Yes.
You got to let him know you are not my God.
Yes.
You got to let him know that I was not made in your image.
Yes.
You got to let him know you did not put your hands on our father Adam and Eve, especially on Adam, and roll him around in the dust and form him into a man. And you did not, Satan, breathe into him.
Right.
And you did not breathe into me.
Amen.
But see, after the fall, that he had a little up to do, he can kind of do stuff, you see. But you still didn't breathe into me. You're bringing things against you, but you still don't own me. He only owns you if you allow him to own you.
Yeah.
Yes.
You want to change daddy to go ahead. A lot of people don't change that. You know, how people, you hear, see stories on TV, how kids go to court trying to divorce their parents. You can divorce me, but are you tied to my womb, honey, okay? You can divorce me all you want, okay? But and people try to divorce God and they get mad at him. Jesus talking about divorce all the time and divorce all the time in the Bible, right? He said, y'all adulterous. No, and could you adulter when you go and serve another God? Uh-huh. Making that God your father. You see? And Satan, he got this great thing going on. Every time he comes to somebody, oh, serve me, I am the one.
Mm-hmm.
He got to make it so like he's the one. He's not the one, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Okay, look in your life. How many times he said he was the one and left you hanging high and dry by yourself?
Every time.
How many times? You know,
all
he was the one. Okay, go ahead, can get you a good, have a good party fit on it and gone over to that party. You know, I'm the one, I'm going to help you. In fact, there's some people over there that can give you some cars and stuff. He can and take you into your next destiny and get over to the house full of drugs and alcohol and debauchery. Mm-hmm. And now you got your cars. You made your connections. Mm-hmm. But now you're also caught up in, they offering you these drugs. And they offer you these women or these men or offer you all kind of stuff as a part of the program. See, he don't give you nothing for free. Jesus gave his salvation to us for free. He didn't give you nothing for free. You're going to pay for everything he get from you.
Amen.
He's going to pay. You find some people don't even know how old I am as I tell them. But I find people, I meet people at work and stuff all the time. They say, I'm only 50 years old. I say, Okay? They're old. You see? But the grace of God in Christian's life, on that doesn't look that old, right? It's the grace of God that sustains me.
Yeah.
I never want to drink or smoke or drug, and I'm thanking God for that. But I'm saying he sustains you. But don't let the devil try to tell you that he can do better than God. Mm. He's always telling somebody, I can do better than that. You ain't got to wait no 10 years for what I can do in a day. Mm. Not telling you that after you do that in a day, you're going to suffer for 10 years. Mm. He ain't going to tell you that. Did you miss the memo or what?
Yeah.
And you can look at people's lives.
Yeah,
look at people's lives of what, how they sow out.
Yeah.
Where they are.
Yeah.
Not happy. You know, sometimes they made it, but they most men most miserable. You see? So don't let that thing this thing tell you that he is your God. No matter how much he tells you he is your God. And how much he tell you that you go ahead and submit to him as your God in the end. You're going to find out he's just a little old thing. And you're going to look at that thing, that little old thing that was persecuting you, tempting you, and keeping you away from God all these years. You're not going to see that until the end, though. See, when God bring him down to nothing, that's when you're going to see it, you see.
That.
See, every sinful habit that had become as it was natural in your soul and rooted deeply, God is getting ready to separate it and cut it off by his word.
Amen.
He said, I'm laying the hacks through the root.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see my tree out there? And listen, God ready to lay the axe to the root. Because see, if you don't root up what's causing it, mm-hmm. it'll keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
But if he can get out, he's gonna start laying the axe to the root. And I'm talking to those that really want to be free, but are struggling so hard in the spiritual realm. So God's going to lay that axe to the root and go to the depths of your soul and root up them things that's causing you to keep fumbling and stumbling in the kingdom. And you cannot do what God wants you to do or keep falling back into habits.
Mm.
See, God's going to lay the axe to the tree.
Yes.
Yeah, you want to be free, I'm going to make you free. See, who the Son makes free. Yes, free indeed.
Tell it.
It will open up men to their thoughts and their purpose, even the evilest men. See, God laying axes to the trees all over the place, even the ones that don't love him. He just cut. I'm God. You know what? You turn God against a person, I don't care about how good or bad you was before, how especially bad one. You know what? What can turn God against you more than anything else? You stand up talking about, I'm God. If you ever stand up talking about, well, I'm invisible. You need me. You don't need God. You need me. Oh, you don't. See, I don't care who you with. God said, okay, hold on a minute. I got something to take care of. You see, because he said, I have no God besides me. And when you find people talking about I'm the one, you know, God said, okay. I'm coming off the throne. They got that throne suit off and going down. You want a piece of this? Give me a piece of this here. You think, you know what? I'm going to show you who the one is. And this is what they're seeing. You see, keep talking to him. That's why you see so much stuff happening. People are getting. God told them all this mess up in the kingdom. I'm talking about in our earthly kingdom here.
Mm-hmm.
And these high places. He's cutting them down and showing them who they is. You are not invincible.
Mm-hmm.
You are not God. And you don't own the people. That's what God is showing, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Try to keep people in bondage and stuff. I don't know. Them guys are not my people. You see. The word will show the flesh man all that is in his heart. So the Bible says once again, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yes.
Piercing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts. Come on now, y'all think he don't know nothing, huh? Y'all some just lying to people? telling people anything, clown like you crazy, think that, oh, nobody don't know that. God sees everything. He said, I see in depth that you never will understand. I go to the core of that lie. I go to the core of that deception. And I go to the core, and that's what I'm going to root up, says God. You see? He said, I'm the discerner. I know when you're lying and you ain't lying. I know when you're up there clowning and you ain't clowning. People might think, oh, it's okay. No, it ain't okay. God said, I see, and I'm ready to separate. I'm going to put the axe to the root. He said, neither is there any creature that is manifested in his sight. But all things are naked, wide open. You, come on now. You can put a 10 fur coat on. You ain't going to help you, okay? And open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. Isn't that awesome? Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. He says, seeing that we have a great high priest, he knows how you feel. He knows those things that are pressing you in your soulish realm. Now, you might say, well, Jesus walked the earth and he didn't sin. No, he didn't. But you can imagine in the Old Testament, thank y'all, we don't live in the Old Testament. Y'all should say amen.
Amen. Amen.
They dealt with God himself. They didn't do what you did, they were dealing with God until Jesus was born. And God on his throne, he never tasted sin. He was holy. He never, you know, like, came in a flesh suit. He was a God. Chop you up. Oh, you gonna go against my man of God? Oh, y'all gonna keep on commercial complaining? You just cut them down like, he said, I'm gonna take $1,000 at a time, but on my people. I can do this, says God. You can't do that. He'll get mad if another nation taking them down, right? You don't touch my people. You take the nation down, then go back and still take the nation down too. He said, I do that. You don't go put your hand on them. Remember my people. He said, how can you contend with a sovereignty like that? You see? If you be trying to take mess with Israel and the Hebrews and stuff, and they got in Hebrew, they come clowning, and they were just murmuring, and they were just complaining. But as soon as the enemy come up, he said, hold on, man, I'm going to take y'all in a minute. He'll go get the enemy first. You don't touch mine. Love him. Love him. Yeah. But see, that's what they contend with in the Old Testament. But when Jesus came, he came with to be our great high priest. When he came and took on this earth suit for you and me, he came to put on this earth suit so he can feel things in the flesh. He had to feel what his people was feeling. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, the sin stuff. See, sin touched him but couldn't penetrate him. He had to be touched by that. What did God say? He had to be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Yeah. And an infirmity is anything that, it can be mental, physical, financial. Infirmity is anything that makes you at a dis-ease. Some infirmities are deeper than others, but he said, I had to be touched. I had to feel what it felt like to be having, looking at the mental and looking at demons and crying out of them and looking at women selling their stuff in the street and men going with men and women going with women. And I had to feel all that, see what was going on in down in them. I had to see why the people were looking at them, how they were treating people and what was going on down in them. See, God, you'd be surprised at the stuff that Jesus really saw. Yet without sin, only no one else could do that besides him. That's why he could not be born of a man. Seed. Because the man's seed would have contaminated him. He only could be born of the woman. He said, I'm coming back a woman. You see? I can't come in no seed. Now nothing can come and germinate you, okay? Only I'm going to come and germinate myself. I'm going to come back. So he had to be that pureness of him was the only thing that could sanctify us. And so he had to come, but yet people said, well, how? But it touched him. It touched him. Even though he didn't succumb to it. And he left that open for us, that yeah, things will touch you, but you don't have to keep succumbing to it.
Yeah.
Right. I'm here now, right? And I'm here now, he's saying. You don't have to keep succumbing to it. And so it takes a minute to get there. It takes you saying, God, I want to be free from these things, these habits, or whatever it might be. I just lust spirit, whatever it might be, this mental derangement, whatever it might be, this lying spirit, whatever it might be, this homosexual spirit. I don't care what it is, God said, I want to be free from it, and God will make you free. He was touched with the feeling of our infirmities, every one of them. And he showed it when he was on the cross. were leading up to Resurrection Sunday, and it showed him when he was on the cross, all the things that he walked through, and it was a time when he was walking through the land. He said he looked out and he just got so moved with compassion because he's seen all the torments and all the sicknesses and all the disease that was on it on my Sunday, Mosiah. And he was moved with compassion. He said, and he healed them all. Yes. Now, this is what I came to do, says God. But when he was on that cross, and that was the accumulation of what he was born for that one day. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Was the accumulation of everything that he was born. All the things he had to walk through. And when he was up there, I love to say this, I say it all the time because it's so meaningful to me. How when he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? And now at that time, that Father God said, that's right. I sent you, your portion of me, to come into this earth and fill a flesh suit. And feel what my people feel. So now, when he did that, everything stood back. God could do it. The angels could. Nobody could help Jesus at that moment because he took on the world, every sin, every sickness, every disease, any sin that people weren't even talking about. He took them all on him at that moment. And that's why he cried out, why have you forsaken me? Because he had not, Masha. He had never been separated from the Father and never will again be. But that day he had to be separated because of the sin and the stench, the pain and the agonies, all the things he felt. The Holy Father on the phone. I'm God. You see. So that's why he had that testimony. I'm the great high priest. Yeah.